Brethren, good morning to everybody. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We have heard a lot of talk about in the world about saving the world and saving the planet, changing. To adjust my hearing aids, just a second. About saving the climate, a lot of talk about unifying people and eradicating racism and sexism and all these various things. And I was listening to, watched an interview of one of the wealthy men who had recently gone up into space, and we've seen several, at least three, do that. And I was listening to this man speak, and he was saying how that, just with certainty, with no ifs, ands, or maybes about it, about how we're going to make it livable on other planets or the moon so that we can save the human race. And that's exactly what he said. So we can save the human race. And he said, and this is just in case we don't get control of the climate. And I thought of this passage of Scripture, and I want you to look here in Genesis 11. That's exactly what Nimrod and the people in his day were trying to do. Exactly. Nimrod means rebellion. And this was rebellion against God. He's a picture of the devil, Nimrod is, and the people who are under, who are the devil's seed. It represents men who are attempting to save themselves and the world apart from God. Apart from God. And that's what was going on here. Now, verse 1 tells us the whole earth was of one language. This is right after the flood. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there, and they said one to another. This is man speaking with man. This is Nimrod speaking to people. He was a rich man. He was a hunter of men. He was trying to build himself a kingdom. And he said to people, and they began to speak to one another. This is men talking to men. This is nobody consulting God. This is not God speaking. This is man talking to man. They said, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, let us build us a city. A city in those days was a fortress. It was impenetrable. It was considered a whole people lived in a city, and it was surrounded by walls and what have you, a fortress. And this city they're talking about, Babylon. And it says, verse 4, and let us build us a tower whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make us a name. I don't think there's any thought here that they were actually trying to build a tower up to God, as men say. They were building an impenetrable city with a large tower in it where they could kill anybody that came around and try to threaten them. And here's the reason. Let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. Verse 4, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Lest we be scattered. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered. And God ended Nimrod's plans just very easily. I mean, just very easily. And he can change things just like that. I mean, just so easily. And he did exactly what Nimrod was trying to stop. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. They were just in such a frenzy and so set that they were going to do this. And that's what he's saying. They're just going to try to do anything that comes into their imagination. He says, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This is the reason we have different languages. This is the reason we have people scattered in all the earth and different races, different ethnicities, different all sorts of customs. And God did it. God did it. Sinners were trying to save themselves and preserve a name for themselves. And that's what the Lord did. And he continues to do this. Our Lord continues to do this. They said, let us build us a city. There is a lasting city. There is a permanent city, an impenetrable city. But it's the city of God. It's the city God builds. Verse 4, they said, let us build us a tower whose top may reach to heaven. God's people have a tower. We have a strong tower. And it unites us with God in heaven. That tower is Christ. The righteous run into him and are safe. They said, let us make us a name. God's people have a name. He's given us his name, the Lord our righteousness. But he's made us a name. It's his name and his work. They said, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. All man's sin, all man's efforts to save result in God scattering man abroad. No man's going to be able to save ourselves by our work at all. God will not have it. He will not have it. But God does unite, and he does save his people. He unites his people, and he does save his people. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, we looked at this recently, but I want you to notice the difference here between what we just saw and what we see here. God makes his nation himself by his word. By his word. He speaks the word to his people. And that's how he unites. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Nimrod and the inhabitants were talking amongst themselves and coming up with this idea how they could save themselves. But here, the Lord comes to Abraham. You remember Paul said in Galatians, the gospel was before preached unto Abraham. The Lord spake to him. The Lord's going to create his nation and his people and unite with his word. And he told him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. The Lord does some separating too. But he's going to separate his people from the world and from all who are not his together with his people. Together with his people, unto a land that I will show thee. And he said, and I will make of thee a great nation. Nimrod and his followers thought, we're going to make ourselves a great nation. We're going to make a name for ourselves. God promised Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. The nation is God's nation, made up of God's elect, God's city, God's kingdom, God's people that he makes. We see at Babel how all the languages came about, how all the divisions came about amongst people. Some believe that's when the Lord actually separated the land and various, I don't know how, but that's what some people believe took place at that time. But sinners, ever since that day, ever since the day of Nimrod, sinners, unregenerate sinners, with governments and religion and out of religion and just every sorts of way. Sinners have been trying to unite people. Been trying to unite people. Been trying to get people to regard each other as one. But God divided people on purpose. He gave these different languages so we couldn't communicate on purpose. He scattered us in the earth. True unity is going to be by the Spirit of God. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. Given us one heart, one faith, one Lord, by his work. So before God, you have all these people now. And, you know, if you read back there from the end of our text down to verse 12, you can see this whole listing of an ancestry of, you know, he had already destroyed the world. And all it was just Noah and his sons. And so everybody came from them. But you list all this list of people, and you see all this big scattering of people and all these people in this genealogy. And then God starts with Abraham. Just one man. One man. You know, there's only two people in the whole world. There's only two races in the whole world. That's going to be shocking to some to hear. But it is. There is the devil's children, and there's God's children. It's the only two there are. The race has to do with origin. And there are only two origins, two races that came from two different origins. Those who originate from God and those who originate from fallen man. The origin of God's people is of God. Chosen of God, created of God, in the mind and purpose of God before He made anything. Created by Christ coming and making His people righteous by His being the holiness of His people to create us anew in our heart, by Him uniting us. And when He gives us a glorified body and we're in glory, everything about us will be all of God. It will be all God's creation that Christ created. We will not have done anything to create it. It will all be of God. It originated with God. And it was created of God, and it will be to His glory. Sometimes the word generation in Scripture means an age or a period of time. It refers to people living during a specific time. But other times in Scripture, the word generation refers to a class or a race. It refers to kindred, family, a tribe, people of the same origin, people of the same nature, people of the same kind. And listen to this. God's people are called in 1 Peter 2:9 a chosen generation. You're a chosen race. A chosen race. This doesn't have anything to do with racism like men are talking about. This is God's created people. God's created people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That means a distinguished people that He made, that He set apart. The psalmist said, call them the generation of thy children. Speaking of God, He called this generation the generation of God's children. He said in Psalm 14:5, God is in the generation of the righteous. He's in this generation. And He's, don't think of it as an age. We're talking about a people. The Lord's seed shall be mighty on the earth. The Lord's seed, His children, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's speaking of His people. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Or as a generation. The devil is the serpent. And his seed are called the generation of vipers. That's what Christ called the devil's children. And you see here, the devil can do nothing but what God permits. When you see all the things going on in the world, all the things going on around you, all the things going on that happen to God's church, nothing, Satan can do nothing without God's permission. Nothing. Satan could not even use Nimrod when everybody was speaking the same language and was one people. He couldn't even use Nimrod to keep those people unified. God divided them. God separated them. Confounded their languages. But God came to Abraham with the gospel. He came to him preaching this one word of the gospel. And He unites His people by the one message of the gospel. He created all these languages. And He gives His people one language. It's the language of the gospel. We don't all speak it in the same tongue. In the same language according to the earth. But no matter what tongue it's being spoken in, it's the same language that His people understand no matter what nation they're in. You can go down in Mexico and you can start preaching and you can have it translated for you. And you just see God's people's faces just light up. They hear it. They rejoice in it. They know the language. And that's what God promised. Listen to Zephaniah 3:9. He talked about doing away with Israel and doing away with the old covenant and what have you. And he said in Zephaniah 3:9, "Then will I turn to the people a pure language, a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord and serve Him with one consent, one mind, one accord." He said, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to give them one language, one language." And he manifests His glory in being able to do this in spirit, in the heart of His people. People that have so many differences and are so different and are different races, different faces, different from different places, and all the different things that are different, but God can make His people one. He started doing this at Jerusalem. Well, He started it with Abraham, and He called His people throughout the ages. But then at Pentecost, go over to Acts 2, we see this very clearly at Pentecost, and He's been doing it through this gospel age, and will continue till He calls all His people. But look here in Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 5. Now we saw how God spoke and He confounded the language and He created all those language barriers. God did. Now look here at Jerusalem. Verse 5, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men." That means men walking in godliness. That's what the word godliness means. "Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They began to speak." But I want you to just see there. "They were out of every nation under heaven." Now look at verse 9. "There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia," on and on you go. You see this. This, all these different languages are there. They're all speaking different languages. That came from back there in our text when God did that. And in verse 6 it says, "Every man heard them speak in his own language." God gave the Holy Spirit, and He, when you read the speaking in tongues, it's not some unknown foreign language that people are just speaking some nonsense. God gave them the ability to speak in each of those countries, each of those languages. He gave His disciples the ability to speak languages they had never learned before. And they spoke in those languages. And every man heard them speak in his own language. But what were they speaking? They were speaking that one pure language. That one pure language. Look down at verse 11. It says there at the end, they said, "We hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God." That's what they heard them speak, the gospel. They heard them preach the wonderful works of God, the message of Christ and what He had accomplished. And God, by sending the Spirit into their heart, giving them a new heart, making them believe on Christ, He called all these different people out of their nation into His one holy nation. He called them out of all these different languages and gave them ears to hear the one pure language, the gospel of Christ. He called them out of all their cities and made them citizens of His one holy city. Made them members of His one holy family. All the blessings of God's people are of God. Now, not only did He appear to Abraham, and He started it right after He divided everybody. He appears to Abraham, and He speaks to Abraham. And He speaks the gospel to Abraham concerning Christ. And not only does God do this, He makes His people one by giving all the blessings from Him. It said back in Genesis 12 in verse 2, He said, "I will bless thee." Nimrod and all his people were trying to do everything for themselves. God said to Abraham, "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And in verse 3, He says, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Nimrod was trying to make his name great. And the children of the devil are seeking to make a great name for self. That's what unregenerate natural man is doing, trying to make a name for self. He sought to make the families of the earth come under his rule. That's what Nimrod was trying to do. He was trying to, the reason he wanted to build that city is he wanted everybody in that city to obey him and be under his rule. But by grace, God promised Abraham, I will make thy name great. I will make thy name great. God made Abraham wear his name. He made him wear his name, the Lord our righteousness. He made you wear his name, the Lord our righteousness. He gave him a name better than any name. He's called the Father of all that believe. That's a good name. He called him the Friend of God. That's a good name. But he said, I will make thy name great. And when he said there, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, it's because Christ came through Abraham. That's what he's speaking about. And through Christ and what he accomplished for his people, he unites all his people in his righteousness by his Spirit. And so that this elect people that God chose and that make up this one holy nation, they're in all the nations, all the kindreds, all the tongues in the earth, but he gives them this one language and he blesses them in Christ, and by Christ they're blessed, and he gives us his name. He made all the sins of all God's people meet on our Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ took them away. He put them away. He thoroughly answered the justice for them. And Christ, by his obedience, made his people the righteousness of God. Think about that. The righteousness of God. A righteousness that's one with God, that God will receive, that God says, I'm well pleased. That's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. He did it on the cross. They said in Revelation, when they sang the new song, they spoke of Christ and they said, thou wast slain and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. When you read in the scripture and you read that for God so loved the world, and this is what it's referring to, God has a people all over the world. God has a people all over the world, not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, people on this earth. But he's going to make them one in Christ. They're going to all have this commonality. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:14. By Christ's coming, and by Christ, there was a great separation between us and God. Our sin separated us from God. We sinned in Adam. So the last Adam had to come and put that sin away and bring us back into oneness with God. And he did that. And because he did that between us and God, he does that between each of his people. Look at this in Ephesians 2:14. He is our peace who hath made both one. He's speaking to Jew and Gentile. And he was talking to God's believing Jews and God's believing Gentiles. And he was saying to the Gentiles, there was a time you didn't even know God. You weren't even a part of Israel. You didn't have the oracles of God. You didn't have the scriptures. You didn't have any of the promises. You were just alienated, separated, separate. And that's us, isn't it? By nature, that's how we are, just separated from God. Don't know God. Don't want to know God. How's he going to bring all his people together and make us one? He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do it. You think of how much we have to separate us. If we're going to be united, God alone is the one that does it. God alone is the one that does it. The devil, sin, our sin, the sin of the world, there's everything under the sun trying to separate God's people. If we're going to be one, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And he will do it. He's going to do it for his people. Here's how. Ephesians 2:14. Christ is our peace. who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." Men were using the law to try to put a difference between them and the Gentiles. God sent Christ, his Son, and he fulfilled the law, and he took that difference away. He made us, all his people, have one righteousness, him. He made us see in ourselves we're all worms. At our best state, vanity. All our righteousness are filthy rags. We don't ever stop seeing ourselves that way. Because if we stop seeing ourselves that way, we stop seeing Christ as our only righteousness. Which is to have one. And so that's how he takes away that enmity that's there between a person that wants to exalt themselves by their works over the one that's fallen and transgressed. He does it by making you see that one that looks like he's done the wonderful works and the one that doesn't, if they're his, they're both equally worms in themselves, and they're both righteous in Christ by Christ. That creaks unity. That breaks your heart. That creaks unity. He did it to make of himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto one Father, the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon one foundation, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in him, they were trying to build this tower. In him, all the building is fitly framed together, and you grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He builds his city of living stones by his Spirit, fitly framing his people together, growing us into his temple. That's his work. He says, in Ephesians 4, here's the oneness of it. There's one body. Ephesians 4:4, there's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And this is going to be by Christ's intercession. He prayed that they all may be one. Father, thou art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that one is Christ. The devil's seed strive with one another based on carnal differences. Race, gender, class, education, all the religious differences. And most of the religious differences have come down to this. Practice. That's what they come down to. Most of them do. You can see it on the sign usually. Since the fall, the majority, whoever the majority is, it doesn't matter. The majority persecute the minority. It's the way of the sin nature in every fallen sinner. They've done studies where they take an odd number of children, young children, and put them in a room. And they make, they take an odd number of children and they give the majority of them some commonality. And there's a minority that don't have that in common with them. And it really doesn't matter what it is. The ones with the commonality usually come together, and the ones without it are in the minority. And you've had children in school, you've had it happen. You've heard of it happen, seen it happen. Maybe happen to your own children. That's the sin nature. Sinful man can try to eradicate that. Sinful man can try. It is our nature to exalt ourselves over somebody else. And if we think we got the numbers with us, that gives us power to think we can get by with it. That's the sin nature. We can't subdue that sin nature, and we can't create a new nature. So the unity is going to have to be made by God. And he just brings glory to himself by showing how he does this, putting together people that otherwise would have had nothing in common. And he brings you together. And when he gives you a new heart and makes you just really see. I was talking to a brother. It was interesting. I was talking to two different brethren this week. And the first time we were talking, and we were talking about pride. And I made a statement. I said, I just didn't see how proud I was. And I said, it's just so much pride. And I was talking to a brother last night, and we weren't even talking about this. And he said, I just didn't see how proud I was. Just talking about, weeping and talking about just how we're just worms. Don't have a thing to be proud about. And yet God's been merciful. And when he makes you see you're one in Christ, Galatians 3:28 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Speaking to those he's given faith, those he's made to see ourselves as only the only thing we have that made us different from where God found us is Christ. Because otherwise we're sinners. But Christ has made us righteous. And that's our only hope. Him. By his grace, constant, continual, indestructible, never-ending grace. Grace abounding over sin. Grace, grace, grace. Beginning to end. Christ only. Christ only. When that's the case, there's neither Greek nor Jew. Not looking to circumcision or uncircumcision. Not looking to barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, educated, uneducated. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. We either believe that or we don't. It's just that simple. Just that simple. But one last thing. I'm going to give you this one last thing. Ishmael always persecutes Isaac. This world of unregenerate sinners are never going to be one with God's people, and God's people are never going to be one with this world. And the world will persecute God's church. They have in the past, they will more in the future. But listen to this carefully. God also promised Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. Remember, I was trying to build a fortress and a tower to protect him and the people that were following him. The Lord said to Abraham, I will be your fortress. I will be your strong tower. And that's Christ, brethren. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. What does that mean? It means that the Lord is going to make you in spirit. When you're being separated, persecuted, oppressed, everything that would make you fall away, the Lord in spirit is going to make you run to Christ in spirit. Look to him, believe on him, and cast it all on him, and he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. And when I say keep you, I don't mean that something might not happen to your body. This is our flesh. It's going in the grave one way or another. But he will not let you, the new man born of him, ever be separated from him. He will bring you down. He will subdue your flesh. He will keep you trusting Christ only. And as he works that in each of your brethren, he will keep his people united together. That's just so. That's just so. That's our confidence. What God has promised. What God has promised. And in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he shall gather together in one all things in Christ. All are going to be gathered in one in Christ. things in heaven, things in earth. He's saying all His people, He's going to gather us all together in one in Christ. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, and all the glory is going to be to Him. And that day we're going to see Christ really did do this for me, beginning and end. That time I thought I was so strong and I thought I was in the right and I was doing this and that. And He's going to let you see, you were surrounded by wickedness and wicked angels and fallen angels and just trying their best to separate you from Christ. And Christ wouldn't let it happen. He kept you. Things you can't even see now that He's doing for His people, that's what He's doing. So look to Him. Don't get carried away with the world. If you sin, flee from it to Him. If you get puffed up, flee from it to Him. Whatever it is, look to Him. He'll burn all the rest of this up. And we're looking for that city, that is God's city that He's built. And every one of His people are going to be in that city. Look only to Him. Live for Him. If you've sinned in the past, don't dwell on it. Don't keep thinking about it. It will separate you from Him. Learn from it and don't do it again. And flee to Him and rest in Him. You can't put it away anyway. And if you keep thinking about it, all you're going to do is, it may be how He uses it to prove you're not His. But if you're His, He's going to turn you and say, I'm your righteousness. I'm your righteousness. You can't put away your sin. He already has for His people. And He's going to teach you, I'm your righteousness. Look to Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray You bless it. Thank You for these promises. Thankful, Lord, that You continue to work in Your people. Oh, Lord, thank You that You keep us, save us by grace. Lord, help us to hear, help us to look to Christ only. Keep us protected, united in Him. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your power and grace and sweet forgiveness we have in Christ by His blood. Help us, Lord, to honor You and follow You. Create a love that follows You and is devoted to You and You alone, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.